Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, freelancer, and curious question asker. Join me for half an hour each week while I sit down with inspiring photographers and pick their brains about growing their business, authentically connecting to their clients, and being a good human in this changing industry. If you're ready to take your photography hobby to the next level and turn it into an actual business, you're in the right place. If you want to hear real-life advice from professional photographers and start building the future of your dreams, don't go anywhere. Here we go. This podcast is brought to you by the Unscripted Posing app, the one-stop shop photography app for photographers looking to up their posing game, streamline their business, and look and feel like a professional. With Unscripted, you'll confidently rock every shoot, capture those emotion-filled images you've been craving, and create a fun photo shoot experience for everyone, including you. Join over 200,000 photographers and search Unscripted in your app store now. I just got to sit down with Lauren Phillips of Love Her Wild Photography. It's taken us a little while to get here because she's always got a million and one projects on the boil, but I'm so grateful she found a slice of time to share with us. Lauren is the best. She doesn't believe that the client is always right, and she breaks every rule that's ever been made about how to do photography and business. She shoots for herself first and foremost, and maybe the client second or third. She's an artist, a rebel, and not a hired hand, but before COVID, she had people flying her all over the world because they love what she does. It was so exciting to talk about her journey to photography and how feeding her creative fire not only makes her feel great, but supports her financially too. Anyway, this conversation's all about creating space for your inner artist to flourish, marching to the beat of your own drum, and wearing your heart on your sleeve. We got a little bit excitable at times, so there's snippets of adult language. Just be aware if you're listening with kids. Also, when we recorded, it was absolutely bucketing down outside, so you'll hear a bit of rain in the background. Let's start.
Hi. I always like to start these shows with like an introduction into how people got into photography, because there are just so many different ways that people find their way here. So I just want to start with the question of how did you find your way to photography?
Well, it's actually kind of a complicated story. I was never really one to kind of like have a kid and pick up a camera and then realize I can do photography. It was always there. I always wanted to be creative. I just didn't know what. And my mom was a really amazing photographer. She had like a dark room growing up, and I would go into her dark room and she would process her film and everything, but I just never clicked that that's what I could do, or I might have what she had. And then when my daughter was two, I'd lived in Byron Bay for a long time, but I went away and then I came back and I was trying to get work, but I couldn't get any work at all, and I was crashing on people's couches. If I couldn't get work, I couldn't get a house. And so I was basically homeless and just jumping from couch to couch. And it became like really difficult. And a friend just randomly made like a GoFundMe page and said, if Lauren could do photography, even though I wasn't even doing it as a hobby, but she just like saw that I had an ability. And so she was like, if Lauren could do photography, then she'd be able to make money and she'd be able to get a house for her and her daughter to live in. And the money was raised in 3 days and I got a camera. So then I was like, well, I guess I better do this.
When life gives you
now.
A camera.
Yeah. You make photos. Yeah. So that was it. But it was my calling. And so it just kind of panned out really nice.
Yeah. And so did you start taking photos and then like, was that your full-time job from when you had a camera?
No. So I can't remember exactly what I was doing at the time. I might have been working at a macadamia farm, sorting out macadamias, like with a hairnet on. It was one of the worst jobs ever. And then I was doing cleaning for a bit. How did it go? I don't know how long I was like part-time for, but it can't have been that long. It can't have been that long at all. I remember I was cleaning and I was so over, like, because when you're a cleaner and you're in a house on your own, you're spending hours and hours on your own every day thinking. And so I would spend hours every day thinking about what, like, shoots I could be doing. And I was just feverishly thinking about photography And I would be like scraping a toilet going, you know, this is the biggest drive ever to go and do what you want to do. And someone said to me, if ever you want to do photography full time, you have to make sure that you have enough savings to last you a year and to then go into it. And I just did the opposite. I had zero savings. And I went, well, if I'm like telling the world that I'm happy to do cleaning, that's just going to continue that way. So I just quit and hoped that I'd get enough bookings to cover me. And I did.
Holy shit. That's so terrifying. I feel like to just take the plunge like that and be like, all right, like I just trust that this is going to happen. I don't know. It's so scary to even think about that. But at the same time, it's like sometimes you just need that fear or like that risk to like drive you into things a little bit further and be like, all right, like I'm committing to this with like everything.
Yeah. I think if you overthink it, it just kind of, it's the same with doing a shoot. If you overthink it, it doesn't turn out with authenticity. It's the same sort of thing. Whereas I just kind of wanted it so bad that nothing was going to get in my way. It was just like, well, I'm just going to do it and that's how it's going to be and nothing else is going to happen.
I feel like your work is like a reflection of that as well. Like just like the not overthinking things. Like it just seems like such a good like antidote to the airbrushed perfection like we see on our feeds. Like it's honestly just like a treasure trove of moments that like everyone can relate to and like it's the real stuff. And I feel like it's a real gift to be able to do that, and it kind of like requires having had that kind of experience like to get there. How do you make sure that like you're telling like your clients an authentic story?
Yeah, I don't feel necessarily that like once upon a time I was all about telling the client story, whereas as I grew as an artist and became more of myself and what I'm all about and understood what this is all about for me, I realized that it wasn't really about so much there. This sounds terrible, but I'm here to shoot for me. Mm. And they're kind of like a vessel for my art. So it is kind of about them and there is elements of them and it's about their relationship like with their kid or whatever, but it's not necessarily, I don't know, I kind of merged somewhere from going from their story to my story, and that's when it all kind of like came into place for me. And it's more about like telling a story now for myself and things that are in my head and healing my own kind of trauma and everything by photographing people in scenarios that I've been in or that I can relate to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's a really brave thing to say because a lot of photographers are just kind of trying to like make money, which is fair enough. But like also I think when you've built enough of a story on your feed or like and people kind of get to know you and your story, then like it's more of like a collaboration instead of you just being like a hired camera. It's like you're the creative personality like yeah. behind the lens, and like people book you for that reason. And I think that that's pretty important to be able to do that and like to be able to shoot with integrity.
Yeah. That way. I think that there's a time and a place for all different photographers. And I know myself, like I've had a few different shoots done of me and my daughter, and I've had people shoot us and they captured us the way that we are, whereas I've had someone else photograph us and it wasn't how we are necessarily at all. It was really just her expression of her art. And it was so interesting because I actually paid for two completely different experiences. One was the photo shoot. The other was like art for, like I paid for an experience with an artist basically. And it was so interesting to feel that. I've never heard anyone talk about how there can be a difference. And there's a time and a place for it all. But yeah, I guess you kind of have to find what it is that you want to provide. Like, are you turning up for a job or are you turning up because this is a really deep, soulful expression of yourself? Just being true to myself, like I know that I have a sea of emotions. I don't have just this like one level on top. It's multi-layered and it's not one-dimensional. You need to be able to relate to images and see yourself in them. If you're not turning up for all of those different emotions, then you're kind of doing a disservice to it.
I feel like as well, just as like an ethical choice as a photographer, it's like really important to be contributing imagery that people can relate to, because we as a society are using social media more than ever, and people are comparing themselves constantly to what they see on social media. Mm. And so there's like a real responsibility as a photographer to be showing the kind of images that are a little bit more raw and a little bit more honest and just like a little bit more, I don't know, like, yeah, soulful, rather than just this kind of everything's happy, everything's great. This is like, we're all laughing and smiling and motherhood does nothing like to do with like all the mess in between. And it's like, what is that? Like, what kind of comparisons are we setting up for people here?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like everything is like, not everything, but there's so much glorified motherhood out there. And if there's anything that's going to kind of screw you up a little bit and make you feel every single thing on a whole another level, it's motherhood. And so it doesn't connect for me to turn up and just take photos of like happy, pretty people not in their natural environment. Like, it just kind of doesn't add up. And so by exploring those different emotions and everything like that, that we actually really do experience, it's also helping, like, you know, so many people say, like, I do this so that I can help mothers feel good about themselves, but really, like, these perfect photos is making so many women feel actually inadequate. So you might make one woman feel nice in that moment, but how many others have you made feel inadequate by looking at that image? Because that's not what their life is like.
Yeah, that is such a good point.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it like that. Like, I have, but just you saying it in that way is like super potent. And I feel like it has something to do with like you having had the experience of being a mother and like knowing that like on a personal level. What are some of the other lessons that you've learned in your own life that like help you be more present during a shoot?
Just the whole experience of and many people who would follow me would know this. I was pregnant and in a really abusive relationship, and I left when I was 6 months pregnant and flew to the other side of Australia and had my kid on my own. And so that experience kind of really taught me that, I don't know, there's so much to it. And so it's taught me to be able to be present in a shoot, because I'm turning up and I'm kind of holding a space for these women to be able to, I'm like, it's okay, here is where you can kind of let it go, and here is where I'm holding you here. And I've been through what felt like the worst to me, so I'm relatable to you. And so I feel like that enables me to be able to kind of tap out of any technological bits and pieces of photography or getting the perfect shot, and I'm just there to really feel that mom and feel what they might have gone through or experienced in that moment, or just every little detail. I kind of just, I'm really hypersensitive to what they're feeling in that hour that we spent together.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen, like, you posted a photo of this mom, like, on the verge of tears. And it was just so, it was so beautiful. And I feel like it's like those kind of moments that like you kind of want to be able to look back on just as much as the other ones. Like, just like that, like you were pushed to feel things in ways that you've never experienced before.
And yeah.
Like, those are just as beautiful as the other moments where you're like watching your kid take his first steps, or the other like sort of like what we know is like more hallmarky moments of motherhood. And I don't know, I just, yeah, I feel like that's a really important visual narrative to add to the conversation.
I guess there's, you know, and that's, and it's what I said before too, like there's a time and a place for each photographer, and people can have an experience with a photographer and have a really happy shoot at the beach or whatever, and that's totally fine. But that's why, you know, I would let people know with mine that's not what I do, and I'm here to explore you as a whole being, not just as this one person in this moment. It's like, let's get all of you into this.
Do you feel like you come up against a lot of resistance from mums wanting to just like show the best sides of themselves? Like, do you feel like you kind of have to like work with them a bit like pre-shoot in order to like let them know that, like, it's, like, safe and...
Yeah, definitely. You get the odd one that slips through the cracks that might just want to kind of rock up and have, you know, not understand the experience. Like, I don't get it right every time. But there's definitely a huge lead up and a lot of work that leads into coming into that space. So, like, that's me being vulnerable, you know. I just can't, there's no way that I could expect anyone. Why, you know, so many people ask me all the time, like, how do I get vulnerability in a shoot? How do I get a mum to open up to me? How do I do this? And I'm like, well, okay, first of all, how have you been open to them? And often, like so often, they're like, oh. And, you know, you don't, they haven't shared anything. No one's telling you that, like, you have to, you don't have to share your whole life. You don't have to share when you last went to the toilet or anything like that. But it's like having a friendship. Do you expect that friend to be totally open with you and tell you everything, but you never share anything back with them? It doesn't work like that.
You can't expect anyone to be vulnerable unless you're willing to be vulnerable as well. And it seems like something that you understand so naturally, but I think it doesn't cross a lot of people's minds.
No, like you got to keep tapping into like what it would feel like for you if you were going to a shoot. Like, I don't want to turn up to a shoot and be vulnerable with someone and have this, like, deep emotional space for an hour if it's been a stale and sterile conversational point beforehand, you know? It's not even just me opening up to them all the time. It's, like, letting people know, you know, reiterating it on each different platform that I have that everything goes a little bit deeper with the experience of my shoot, I guess, you know? It's scaring people off on my website and saying, you know, I might make you cry or things like that. So then that the people that are, go that next step and book with me, they know that
that's what
that might happen.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, totally. Do you think that there's something in this authenticity that's led to your success?
Yes, I do. I do.
Does it make you cringe a little that I said you're successful?
I hate that word. Someone asked me, said that not long ago, and I was like, who now?
Such a classic creative. Like, what, me? No, I don't know.
I'm like going, feel like I'm burning up. I think that authenticity is a huge part of my success. I'm not hiding behind a photography name and things like that. Yes, I go by Love Her Wild, but I'm not hiding behind it all. And I think that people buy into your work and your art as you first, who you are first, and your actual work second. So, you know, a lot of people are buying into like the story, and they've been along for the journey and all that sort of stuff as well.
Totally.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about so many photographers talk about being fully booked and am I fully booked and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because I feel like it's something that a lot of photographers like to do where they like decide that it's like, you know, maybe they want to shoot like 3 days and then they are fully booked and then they kind of like talk about how fully booked they are, which is kind of daunting as a new photographer. If you're like looking around and everyone's just fully booked and like you're like, well, does that mean I have to book out 7 days of the week in order to like be successful? Like, yeah, what is your take on that? And like, how many shoots have you found is like a healthy amount to take on?
This is a super funny one for me because I remember being a starting out photographer and seeing people say that they were fully booked, but it felt like they weren't saying it to the clients. It felt like they were saying it to all the other photographers. And there was this weird line that I was like, but I also felt and misunderstood and thought that perhaps that meant, yeah, they were doing like 7 shoots a week or, you know, they were doing like 2 shoots a day for 5 days a week. You know, I didn't understand what that meant. And, you know, when you first start out in photography, you've got so much to figure out. And there is so much to learn and a lot of it is on your own. And so you just questioning everything, right? Oh, you're just going, what is sanity and what?
Yeah, how do I do this? Like, yeah. I'm just swimming in the middle of nowhere with no idea.
Like, and even if you figure it out, then you're like, I don't know if I'm doing it right. Like, I don't understand if that's you know, like the when I first started, I was delivering campaign images in JPEG because I didn't know what RAW meant. And I was editing in iPhoto. Like, I had no, I was like, do-do-do-do.
Yeah, I'm a photographer. I'm a photographer businesswoman.
I can do this.
I feel like everyone just makes it up, though. Like, you just make it up as you go along.
You do. You do. But I feel like there is an element of showcasing that you're booked out to your clients and showcasing that you're booked out to photographers. And I think that new people don't realize, because it takes a long time and it takes a burnout to realize that you need to start setting days that you work. And so it took me that. And
I want to drill into that a little bit more. Like, yeah. How much were you working when you like burnt out and realized that you needed to like set the days?
Oh my God. So for me, Lucy was in preschool daycare. She was maybe 3 or 4. And I would get up in the morning, get her ready quickly, and then go and sit down at my computer and feverishly work before even dropping her at daycare. And then we'll come back home, work, go pick her up, bring her back home, work. Like, it was so unhealthy and so, like, it was really bad. And I vividly remember the day that I remember standing in my kitchen and going, okay, I need a sign. Because I was doing some consistent work for a company, like, doing photo shoots, but I needed a sign to be able to like close off from that and close that opportunity so that I could grow with my other stuff. And again, every time I've said no to something is when I expand more, and it always goes well. I never regret it, but I stood there thinking like, okay, I need a sign, something in the earth, give me a sign that this is the right decision to make. And then we walked outside and I was going to the car to drop my daughter at daycare, and she was like, "Mommy." And I was so stressed out that I turned around and I was like, "What?" like this dragon, because it was, and it wasn't her fault at all. It was like all me. And I turned around and she was standing there with a flower she'd picked for me. The only reason she called my name was to give me the flower. And I was just this asshole. And I was like, right, you are burnt out.
Yeah.
You've done too much. You are taking on too much. You need to start setting limits. And once I set limits as well, I was like, oh, I'm getting the same amount of work done. It's if I go and exercise and come back, I'm actually a lot more efficient. Or if I go for a coffee with a friend, I'm doing something for me and I'm actually a lot more inspired to come and work. I was just not functioning normally.
Yeah, I feel like you really have to reach that point. But also, it's such a joy to remember again that like you can do things to take care of yourself, and that you can go for a coffee with a friend and you can go work out and still get work done. It's like so much just like a framing thing.
It really is. And if you can like set limits and go, and it's headspace too. Like, we all do it. I don't vacuum my house because I'm like, oh, it's going to take so long. And then when I do it, I realize it was half an hour.
Yes.
You know, or the unpacking the dishwasher feels enormous, but really it's like 5 minutes.
Yes.
So if you can just be in that headspace of like, oh, my emails are actually really going to take half an hour, an hour per day or whatever, then you can sort of, you can balance that out a little bit better. But it's allowing yourself. It's saying, like, I allow myself to give myself space to do this.
Yeah. I feel like that's a hard lesson for new photographers to learn, because you just want to take on all the jobs and you just want to do all the things. Yeah. But then your work is, like, compromised at the end of the day, because you're just in survival mode, just trying to, like, get it done.
You are. And if you're saying yes to everyone and you're doing everything that they want to do, then you're kind of like, I have this creative fairy thing. Like, you're saying, and again, I sound so Byron Bay, but
lean in, babe.
I just feel like you are telling the universe, like, if you go and do that shoot that's a perfect example is like a giant family shoot, like the extended family shoots. No one wants to really do those, do they?
Just really a lot of admin, like, and bossing people around. It's just
It is a lot.
It's a lot of wrangling.
It is a huge amount.
Herding cats.
And if you come out of that and you're like, oh, my soul feels smaller for that, then you really need to listen to that and be honest to yourself. If you go, oh, it's cool, I need the money, you know, yeah, do that for a while. But you've got to get to a point. It doesn't have to be a huge success, but you have to get to a point where you go, that's not for me. Because you're telling the universe, hey, I really like that thing that makes me feel like shit. I'm going to continue doing that. And it's just an unhealthy pattern to keep going around and around and around. And one of the absolute best turning points in my whole photography career was when I was like shooting editorial for this company, and I would go to shoots and they would kind of stand over my shoulder and be like, get that shot, get that shot, get that from this angle. And it just wasn't me at all. And I had photographed this beautiful couple when they were pregnant, and I decided to go, I quit that company and I went back. And I said to this couple, like, once they had the baby, can I just come and photograph you, but on my terms? I need to redo it how my head sees it, so I can know if, like, who I am and how do I shoot? What am I like?
Yeah.
And I said, I just want to embrace shadows and do everything like that. And so I did, and they did, and it worked out really beautiful. And then a company, I put those out how I saw it and how I felt good about it. And then a magazine was like, hey, can we use these? And I was approached a lot more, and my whole business just flourished from then because I finally shot how I wanted to do it.
And it also goes to show that, like, the people that are, like, looking over your shoulder and, like, breathing down your neck and telling you to take this photo this way and take this photo that way, they have no idea. They can't possibly conceive of the creative direction that you could take something in.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would you hire someone for their art when you just – it's like going in and telling, let's go tell Picasso to paint it a different way. Like, what?
Totally.
Why would you do that? And why would anyone want to do that for – themselves too. Like, if you're a photographer, if that's happening to you, you need to question, you know, why is it, I'm just being told to paint this a certain way? You got to think about it in other terms, you know. And if that's the case, then why don't you I think go and just do a job where you can turn up and get paid and go home and not stress at the end of the day. If you're going to have all this weight on your shoulders as an artist and put yourself out into the world and do all of this and be thinking about it 24/7 and see everything through the world as a photograph, then you got to be able to show up and do it how you want to damn well do it.
Well, because it's not worth the agonizing. No. It's not worth, like, the artist struggle of being like, is this good enough? Is this worth it? If, like, you're not doing it for yourself.
No, their thoughts and their mind struggle that comes with being an artist needs to have some sort of reward. And if that reward isn't coming through in what you want to be shooting, then – you know, I really think you need to question, what is everything in line here? How can I get it in line?
Yeah, totally. And just, like, have a bit more grit and just, like, do it. Stand up for yourself.
Yes, do get it. Some balls and say no.
Totally. Totally. I feel like that's, like, as a photographer in this town, and there's so many, like, cheap photographers around. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's kind of tempting to be like, yeah, like, I'll just charge the going rate or, like, a little bit less because, like, I'm worried I'm not going to get booked. But, like, I don't know, like, do you have any tips for how photographers or other photographers in this area or an area that's oversaturated with cheap photographers can, like, begin to, like, charge what they're worth?
I think that this comes from your confidence. Like, I definitely have been through times where I've struggled with, like, my prices. I valued my worth, and it did mean that I kind of bypassed a small coastal Australian town, and it meant that I went to, like, the people from the big cities were flying up and kind of, can we book a shoot with you? But it took time. It took time for me to, for ages, years, I actually said, no one in this town, you know, I don't think they really want to book me because there's so many photographers and they do it so cheap. Why, you know, they're just overseeing me. That's fine. But when I changed my mindset, I actually turned around and said one time, like, for a year, I was like, I only want to book locals and that's all I'm going to take. And magically, all these locals just started wanting to book me. It was, honestly, it's like manifestation. You just say it and it goes, boop. It's bizarre. But I also think that, like, there's a level of, what's the word? Is it integrity? Is it, I don't know what the word is, but I'm the kind of person, for example, I'm pregnant at the moment, and if I go to have an appointment with someone and they don't send me, like, it's a really professional place and I don't get a reminder beforehand, or like that
does
motivate.
How do people get away with not sending reminders? I don't know how people get away with that anymore. It's so easy. It's automated. Just send the text.
I know.
Like, I feel like, as well, when you're dealing with pregnant women who, like, forget shit all the time notoriously.
Yes.
Like,
yes, and it's kind of a big deal. It's a human I'm birthing. Can we, like, send a reminder? Like, that's enough for me to be like, right, you're done. You're out of my – I'm not booking with you. You know, like,
yeah.
I think that there is that level of professionalism that you have to have as well in your business, because there's so many photographers and they're turning up and they have a camera and they call themselves a photographer. I charge because, A, I'm giving a whole experience like we've just spoken about previously. B, I – set it all up in my system so it's all, you know, like, kind of professional. I go to a lot of length to do all of these things and run a business properly. I tell people what kind of value they're getting, and that's why people who are in line with me, like, I want to pay for a good experience. Like, I would rather pay decent money to have the best experience. You get what you pay for. You really do.
And I feel like, as well, like, you charge in a way that, like, I don't know, like, values your time and, like, it gives you more space around shoots so you can, like, have more interactions with the clients.
Yes.
You can, like, you know, spend, like, a good amount of time, like, going through the shots and, like, editing them. But then, like, also, it seems like you do quite a few, like, of your own, like, self-funded, self-directed creative shoots that, like, feed
yes.
your own, like, creative fire.
Yes.
So I feel like valuing your time in that way is, like, super, super important.
Yeah. Well, it took me a really long time and a lot of burnout to kind of realize that I'm capable of giving one shoot a week, if not, if that. And it's just because I do put so much of, going back to costs and things like that, while I want it to be accessible, I also want it to be, like, I feel like I'm giving a chunk of, like, little piece of my soul when I do a shoot.
Mm.
And so it takes a lot of time and energy and just, like, a piece of me when I'm doing it.
Mm.
You know, it really is.
Totally.
And it's taken me a really long time to just be able to kind of, like, wind it all back and be like, okay, I can fit in one a week. If that, and that allows me, like, I feel like if I'm also doing the stuff that's more authentic to me, then that's where I really thrive too. And that's a lot of the time in my creative shoots and all that sort of thing. The goal is, like, so this year the goal was and has remained, except for when I go to Tasmania, to not take any paid shoots. I'm just working on the presets and that's it. And to only just do creative, like, an actual creative shoot, because I want to see what happens in my business and my art when I only do what I want to do. It sounds like such a bratty thing, but I'm like, no one tell me what to do.
No.
I just want to see where I grow.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I feel like it's I don't think it sounds bratty at all. I think it's something that we can all do a little bit more of. There is this kind of, like, social perception of people who do art as, like, you should just do it for the love of it and, like, you shouldn't get paid for it. Or, like, you know,
yeah.
like, a lot of these kind of, like, when artists, like, sell out because they're, like, getting paid all of a sudden, it's like, well, no, artists deserve to get paid, if not more than anyone else, because they do deliver a piece of themselves
yes.
to the outside world.
Yeah.
And, like, that is, I don't know, that's just, like, that's priceless.
That's huge.
It's huge.
It's huge, absolutely. But I feel like this is a perfect example of the book Big Magic. Have you ever read it?
No.
Oh, my God, you need to read it.
I'll put it in the show notes.
It's really special. But she kind of talks about, it's Elizabeth Gilbert, and she talks about how if you are using your art to make all the money, you're putting all this pressure on it and you're kind of saying, hey, you're going to make all this money, and then it squashes it and you don't really, you get suffocated by it and you're suffocating it and you're kind of telling it, yeah, you got to do this or nothing else. And it ruins you. It ruins you as an artist. And if you can find some sort of way, like there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing another job on the side, or for example, I'm so lucky with my presets that they do their thing and I can take a year off taking clients to see where my art goes, because it's going to be really like, oh, I feel like it will. I will discover a lot more about me than what I would have ever been able to by saying, "Here's the place for my art, and here's a place for another job over here, my other business." But yeah, if you can find a way to take the pressure off your art a little bit, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And even if it is like doing like one well-paid shoot a week, and then like the rest of the time like working on your art, I feel like there's something in like acknowledging that like that's for the money, like this is the bread and butter bit, and like this is the like creative like soul feeding bit. I think that's, yeah, I don't know.
And that allows space as well for you to question like, what do I really want to do? Or what, I liked that shoot. What I didn't like was this. What I did like was this. How can I create something that's completely over here that's really in line with me? If you're just like shoot after shoot after shoot and you're trying to make money and you're charging little, you don't have the creative space to come up with new ideas and question who you are anymore.
Totally. And then like no one really wants to book you because you just kind of like are a bit, I don't know, like there's like something like dead or repetitive about your work. And so like if you keep your own creative fire alive, then like that actually leads to more success in the long run, which is kind of like the funny like catch 22 about it.
Yeah.
Is that like you just kind of have to like commit to it and do it.
And it leaves a mysteriousness. Like you don't want to give it all away and be like, oh, I'm a photographer who does this and that's what I do. And oh my God, I'm so like, this is what I do. I mean, like, oh, that sounds great. Let's not book with you.
Totally.
You know, but if someone's like exploring themselves and continually growing and like as a client, I'd be like, oh, I want to keep up. Like, yeah, can I experience that? Yeah. That,
like exploration.
Yes.
Like, let's do something together. Like, what do we make?
Yes.
Instead of being like, right, okay, like.
Keep them on their toes too.
Totally.
Yeah, like. Make them want to book with you before you go and change who the hell you think you are, or like what, you know, like before you go and explore the next thing, you know.
Totally.
There's a body of work that you're working on at each sort of stage, I think, and people can be a part of that, and then you kind of go on and...
Yeah, you evolve.
Yes.
One of my friends is a painter, and he did, like, the series of work that was, like, of a certain color palette, and then, like, he kind of, like, moved on a bit. And then there was a client that contacted him that wanted him to do a commission of the work that he had been doing, like, a couple years prior. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, not really sure whether he wanted to do it, and he kind of wanted to say no, but he really needed the money, and so he said yes and then did it, and like all along the way like something went wrong, like the canvas, like all this freakishly weird stuff, like the canvas ripped, like the paints didn't get delivered, when they finally did they were like the wrong thing, and then like eventually sent it over and there was something wrong with postage, and it was just like sign after sign after sign. It's just like, actually, like you do what you do and like people come to you for that, and so like back that, like,
yes,
back where you are now.
Yes.
And like,
it's,
don't make anyone
thing.
Like, yeah, totally.
Oh wow, that story is perfect. It really sums it all up, you know.
Yeah.
it's if you're not being, you have to ask yourself at the end of every session and all the time, check in with yourself, like, am I being true to my artist's heart?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Can you like recall any moments or periods of time that have like really influenced your style?
Ooh, I feel like that what we spoke about before with how I was kind of doing that work and I was like, I'm going to go back and do it however I want to do it.
Yeah.
That was the biggest influence of my style. I mean, the biggest influence as well is really just understanding my why as well. Once I figured that out and realized instead of just turning up for shoots and doing it for the sake of it, I was shooting and understanding my why, it gave me a lot more reasoning to my style, and I understood a lot more about, you know, the relationship, for example, between my daughter and I. Like, it was, you know, until a while ago it was just kind of us, it was always just me and her, and it felt like nothing in the world mattered outside of us, like no matter, like it just, to me, it's the most incredible bond to have a baby on your own and then just have you and her. Like, it was just I feel blessed to have had that. And so for me, that was like a huge style in how I shoot, is to be able to tap into that really heavy depth of like of a mother and what a mother can do on her own. Sorry to all the dads out there, but like it's it comes like, and it's, that's tricky too, because motherhood is such a common thing that people are putting out there now.
But it's common, but it's unique to each individual mother as well.
It's like, true, and everyone's had a mother experience, but as long as you're tapping into the right reasons for it as well, then I feel like that's what's going to make you stand out from the crowd.
Yeah. What sorts of things can we expect to see from you in the future?
Well, over the next few months, we are working on a whole bunch of different bits and pieces of educational content from me, which I've been promising for a long time.
So exciting.
It is exciting, but there's been, you know, there's been a few different things like COVID and cancelled workshops and stuff. So now it's all going online and a pregnancy. So I'm off my couch now, finally, after a few months of laying down. But yeah, definitely this is going to pump out because I'll be getting it done before I have the baby. And there is some really inspiring stuff. And it's not just kind of like we're kind of bypassing the intro to photography. We're working on the deeper stuff. You know, we want to work through like healing yourself through photography and telling stories that help you heal through your own journeys and traumas and things like that. There's some really deep courses out there. So, yeah, it's exciting. And I need to make sure it's all out before this baby comes.
That's so exciting. I can't wait to see it.
Yes.
We'll stay posted.
It's really exciting. And there'll be more presets and all sorts of stuff.
So. Cool. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, my love. It's been such a joy talking to you.
You too. Thank you, Anna.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
No, that was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was so much fun. It still kind of blows my mind how candid Lauren can be when she talks about her art. She's so thoughtful yet so pragmatic at the same time. Like, of course you should be shooting for yourself because how else do you stay fulfilled behind the lens? But listening to the way she characterizes her connection to her art and her own struggles and vulnerabilities really just made the creative process much clearer to me. I'm so grateful to Lauren and other members of the Unscripted community for the invaluable experience and knowledge they share with us. If you'd like to hear more conversations like this, don't forget to subscribe. And for education, inspiration, and thousands of poses and prompts for your next photo shoot, download the Unscripted app today. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.